All right. What's up, everybody? Glad to see you guys here today. Like Jack was saying, my name's Austin. I actually work here at the campus in our Power Kids department, so I like oversee that. So like all the fun stuff that we get to have with the kids here, and now starting up student ministry now too. That's going to be exciting. So if you are a student, or you know a student, or you're kind of like, you want to get plugged into that. As like a place where it's like, yeah, I love to like invest in kids, and it's kind of like that passion of your heart. Like, click into that. Let us know. Like, we'd love to have you to like be able to, click into that and experience that too. Yeah. So, guys, I'm super excited to have us here today. We're kind of continuing this series like we just kicked off last week. We're titling it "Don't Miss the Big Rocks." Don't miss the big rocks. We kind of started by asking this question of like, okay, our lives are busy. We all know that our lives are busy, and they're not getting any easier. Like, I know some of us probably, like, if you're a student, you just started school or starting school. If you're in college, like that's like a real thing, like starting here pretty soon if it hasn't already. And then like for a lot of us, it's like, yeah, like fall time is kind of starting to get a little bit more busy. The schedule's starting to fill up. We have like the autumn photo shoots that are going to get scheduled with, and all that sort of stuff. And life is just going to be busy, and we know this. And so how do we grab a hold of the things that matter most, and how can we kind of use wisdom to help us with that? And there's an ongoing fight for our attention. And we were talking about how last week, how important it is for all of us to live intentionally. Pastor Aaron said last week, a life without intentionality doesn't remain empty. So if we're living unintentionally, what's going to happen is life's going to feel like it's just kind of happening to us. But when we live with intentionality, we can kind of start to like say, wait a second. Instead of life happening to us, like, I want to kind of decide like what my life is going to look like and kind of have like a little bit of say in that matter. And wisdom helps us to do that. So if you're not a follower of Jesus too, like, and you're kind of here just checking things out this weekend, or if you're kind of exploring faith, like we want to welcome you into that. Like, it's definitely like our heartbeat here is to just like, love to be like where you guys are at. Like, we're going to be talking about like the story of Jesus today, and we want you to know about the story of Jesus and the new life that he offers all of us through his life, death, resurrection, and how we can take hold of this experience and experience this life that he offers us now. Because what happens is a lot of times, like, people can kind of think like, oh, heaven is when I get to kind of experience all that. When we talk about like the life that Jesus offers, like, yeah, that's not for like later, But actually what Jesus would say is like, no, you can experience that now. Like, that's something that's available to you like right in this very moment. And so we're going to be talking about that today and what that means to actually be connected to Jesus. And so I'll be honest with you guys, when we were kind of going through the content for the series, and Aaron was like, hey, I want you to like take this one. I immediately, like, when I looked at it, I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not super excited to like talk about this one. I didn't really know what it was all about. But then I got into it and I was like, oh, wait, okay. This one's really good. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys about what the Lord's kind of laid on my heart today. And it couldn't have come at a better time. Because as I was kind of like prepping and doing my study for all this and everything, like, the Lord really brought up and like dislodged some stuff in my life. Because I think when we were talking about like just connecting with Jesus, one of the things I was like, go figure, like trying to connect with Jesus like more. And and one of the things that he kind of made me realize is like, hey, like, I know like we have a relationship. I know like you're trying to follow me, but I don't know if you were like aware of this, but I think you've kind of been giving me like the scraps of your time. I think you haven't really been giving me your best. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. It doesn't feel great because you're like, oh man, like, I want, like, Jesus, I want to give you my best. Like, I wouldn't be following you if like I didn't. But that's kind of where I landed this week, and it really kind of tore me up. So a lot of like what we're talking about today is kind of coming out of like what Jesus was sharing with me throughout this week. So like the main concept that we're kind of like going to be talking about today and like we're kind of going to be wrestling with is like God made a way for us to be connected to the source of life we desire. Actually, I want to read you guys a quote. I came across this and I wonder if this is like something that resonates with you, like how it did with me. And this is what it says. So what is most important in life is you feel purpose. You feel reason. You feel a need to satisfy something. I'll give you bonus points to whoever might be able to figure out who said this. Anyone? No takers? Johnny Depp. That's right. Captain Jack Sparrow himself said that our lives need to have reason and purpose. Like the things that we're searching for, like we want reason, we want purpose, we want fulfillment, like satisfaction. Like we want to like satisfy those deep longings and desires of our soul. So like how do we do that? We all like want to feel that way. We don't just want to exist. We don't wake up Monday morning and look at our week and I'm like, man, I'd love to just like really exist this week. Like I don't really want to feel anything. I just want to live. I just want to move through life. And some of us could be busy. We'd be like, I'm just trying to survive, man. Like I've got like, you know, I remember my last like season of college. I was just like, dude, I can't think about or do anything right now. Hobbies, like what are those? Like, I'm just trying to like get through this phase of my life that is wild and busy and crazy and just, ah. But all of us feel this tension that, like I said, life is busy and messy. And if we're not careful, it might feel like we're going somewhere that like rarely takes us to the place that we want to go. Like if you put your life on autopilot and like you check out for a little while and you check back in, your life is probably like, where did I was just over here. How did I get over here? Like I just left for like 5 minutes and the trajectory of my life has gone in such a way where I don't even recognize like where I am anymore. I definitely probably don't like where I am. So like how do we kind of like navigate back to this place where we can understand like what we need to do? How can wisdom help us to do that? And so what's the wisdom that God would give us to like lead us back into like what it means to living a fulfilled life? So if you have a Bible, I just encourage you guys to open it. We're going to be in John 15 today. We're going to be in John 15, actually looking at verses like 5-6. And if you don't have a Bible, there's actually one underneath the chair in front of you. You can go ahead and grab that. You can write your name in there. Like let that be our gift to you, just for like kind of coming and saying, hanging out with us today. Yeah, we're going to be in John 15. And this is one of my favorite parts of the Bible, actually. You'll find like me and technology don't really get along very well. That's fine. It's a love-hate relationship. it's definitely, I'm one of the people who, you know, if you give me a piece of technology and you're like, that dude probably knows how that works because he's young and, you know, he's with it and everything. I'm like, no, that's not how it is. Just how funny it, like, people think, like, just because you're young, you know how to just use technology. Okay, sorry, sidebar. All right, so in John, this is Jesus talking. And then what is actually really important, Jesus is talking to his disciples here. He is talking to his disciples, and this is like hours before Jesus is going to be handed over to like the authorities and eventually just be executed, be crucified. And so this is hours before this happens. So he's with his boys, and he's telling them like, you know, like the stuff that he's saying, it's like the most important stuff. So this is what he says in verse 5. So yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. So I want you guys to catch a couple things here, because one of the things that Jesus does is something that's really simple, but it's really profound. at the same time. So when he says, you're in whatever version of the Bible you're looking at, it could either say like remain, like that word he uses, or it could say like abide. So those, that word is super important to like what Jesus is kind of getting at here. So when he's talking about like what it means to remain or what it means to abide in him, what he's saying is, it has like this connotation of like to make your home in like somewhere. So like what Jesus is saying is like, I want you to make your home in me. And what that means is like, if you would go to like anyone's house, like if I went to your house, like there's going to be things like in your house that are going to be like distinctly you, right? If you go to my house, the first thing that you would notice when you walk in the door is you would see my crazy coffee setup. Like I have this big old honking espresso machine. I have like all the grinders that if you go to like one of like the amazing cafes and stuff, like you'll see those. I have like coffee toys out the wazoo. Like, so you would walk into my place and you would know like this dude loves his coffee and I do. And actually, if you weren't aware, it's one of the greatest Christian virtues of like being able to like. Really brew a good cup of coffee. Like as a follower of Jesus, like if like one of the things that you should do is like learn how to like make a pour over. I'm just kidding. That's not at all true. Sometimes I wish it was, but that way I'd have someone to talk to about it. But so what Jesus is saying here, I want us to catch this, is like he wants us to make our home in him. And he will make his home in us. See how that works there? Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. So what he's saying is when you make your home in me, I'm going to make your home in you. So if you would like enter into the doorway of your heart and you would look around in the home that is like within you, what Jesus is saying is I want to set up shop there. Like when you would walk into that, like metaphorically, like walk into that, you are going to see things that are distinctly me. And like, I want you to do the same with me. Like, I'm inviting you to like make your home with me. And that's like a very relational, that is a loving choice that we have to do. Because love is a choice. It's not something that can be forced on us. Like, I chose to like make the decision to love my wife. I'm married. I've been married for almost 10 years. I have to make the decision to love my wife every day. That's a decision that I have to make. If somebody was like, came up to me and they were trying to force me to like love somebody, like if, you know, they were like, you need to love this person. I'm like, well, it was like that way with me growing up, like with God. I was told like growing up, it's like, you need to love God. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to try and love God. Doesn't work. I was like, why don't I love God? Someone told me I should, and I'm trying to, but it doesn't make that happen. Why? Because I'm being forced to do that. You can't force somebody to, like, it shows up well with kids too. I mean, like, you look at kids and you're just like, you need to be more loving to your brother or you're more loving to your sister. How well does that usually go? You know, most of the time they'll kind of just be like, okay, I love you. And you're like, no, you don't. that's not going to work. So there's stuff that happens too, like when we abide, in Jesus, when we remain in him. If you're connected to me, he says, like you're gonna have life. You're going to produce fruit. Like results, like fruit is the results of having life in you. If you look at a tree and it's an apple tree, the result of it being alive is that what? It produces apples, right? I mean, that's pretty simple. And you know, that's the same thing spiritually. Like when we are connected to Jesus, like there's things that are going to happen, and we're going to get into that here in a little bit. But he also says, like, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's saying, if you aren't connected to me, you can do nothing. It's like you're a withered up branch, and the best thing that you can be used for is to like be thrown into a fire and burned. And that sounds harsh, right? Like I'm like, I don't want to be a branch that gets thrown into a fire and burned up. Like that doesn't sound great. Like I would prefer it if that didn't happen. But this is What Jesus is trying to illustrate is something, again, like really simple but really profound. He's saying that this life that we desire, this life that we crave, it's not found in us naturally. It's not found in us naturally. Life isn't found inside of ourselves. That's why, like, when we try to, like, add things to our life or, like, people into our life, and we're just like, oh, okay, you know, when I was in school, like, one of the things that I thought of, I was like, if I do really well in school, I'm going to, like, my life is going to be really good. I was never good in school, so that wasn't going to happen. But even when I did, like, you know, I got straight C's. You know, but when I did do all right in school, it still was like, yeah, there was still like, oh, you can do better. Or I felt like, oh, yeah, there could be something better. Like, so I looked at sports, and I was like, all right, well, what does sports look like? I was really good at baseball, so I'd, like, tried really, really hard to be, like, good at sports. Baseball, literally, there was always something that I was like, man, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this, and it's, like, not leading me. I'm not feeling the satisfaction I thought I would. And we can kind of plug and play a lot of stuff in here. This could be, like, school for you. This could be people for you. Like, if I just get, like, this girlfriend or boyfriend, or if I could get this person to be, like, my friend or not, or if I can just try really hard and do this thing, or if I take, like, the really long vacation to, like, Bermuda, and I'm sitting there on the beach, you know, with a nice little iced tea in my hand with the umbrella, because the umbrella is important, you know. I don't think most people realize that. The umbrella is important. But I'm sitting there, and my life still feels empty because I know that this is only temporary. And so what Jesus is saying is, like, listen, if you aren't connected to the source of life, that life, you can't pull that life out of you because it's never been in you. It's never been in you before. So I want to show you an example. I forgot to bring this up with me. Let me show you an example. So I got this apple here. And this is, like, a really simple, like, you guys are probably going to be like, oh, that's so simple, it's, like, dumb. But, like, you know, it's going to be memorable for you, I hope. So we look at this apple, right? It's a nice apple. If you're on the podcast and just listening, like, it's a red apple. It's very small. Like, it's kind of, yeah, almost do, like, a ASMR thing where you're just like, no, that's terrible. No, but all of us would look at this apple and be like, it's a good apple. It's kind of on the smaller side, but it's a good apple. I'd eat that. And what we don't see is, I want you to realize this. This apple looks great. Looks pretty tasty. But this apple's dying. This apple's actually dying. Why? It's not connected to the source of its life. It's not connected to the source of its life. If this thing was still on the tree, there'd still be a chance for it to grow. There'd still be a chance for it to do its thing and have, like, that vitality that comes from, like, being connected to the source of life. But if we literally set up, like, a camera and did, like, one of those time-lapse videos, like, over, like, the next, like, week or two, we will see that this thing starts to wither away. It starts to wither away, and it starts to decompose, and just, it's dying because it doesn't have the life in it that it requires. And so Jesus' wisdom to us is, if we want the life that our souls crave, like, and I'm talking about, like, the life that we, like, really want. Like, if we kind of, like, just stopped and we're like, what do I want to get out of my life? Like, that's the sort of, like, fulfillment, desire, like, that's what I'm talking about. He's like, if you want that, and I know you do because I created you, and I know what the desires of your heart are. If you want that, what's going to need to happen is you need to be connected to me. Because anything that's disconnected from its source of life is not moving forward. It's on a downward trend. It's on a downward trajectory. And so for us as, like, followers of Jesus, like, this needs to be, like, our first step. This needs to be, like, step one. Connection to Jesus is so important. Because if we're not connected to him, we are not tied into that source of life that is helping us to grow and become more like Jesus. And let me tell you guys this. Like, one of the issues that we all face, everybody in here faces, is this fundamental problem that our first barrier to connecting with God is because of our sin. Our sin fights against God. It separates us from him. And all of us left to our own devices. Like, we naturally do not walk towards God. The Bible's like actually really clear that like none of us desire to actually like walk in the direction that God is in. What our actual heart desire is to walk away from God. Is to walk away from God because our heart is selfish. Like, we want what we want. And we want it when we want it, and we don't care what it's going to take to get it. And our desire is not to God, it's away from God. That's why God doesn't send anyone to hell, because hell is just a final trajectory of like our heart posture. God doesn't send us to hell. We walk there voluntarily. Because if hell is just separation from God and being able to just, like, if we continue just to say, like, no, God, I want it my way, I want it my way, I want it my way, all of our lives, hell is just the eternal version of that. It's just us walking away from God because we want to do our own thing. But what God is saying, he doesn't want to send us to hell. If there's anything I can, like, if there's like a little snapshot of God's heart that I can impart into you today, is that God isn't out to get you. God's out to rescue you. God's out to rescue you because he loves you. And it's because God is so rich in mercy. God is so rich in mercy and love towards us that he actually made a way for us to be connected to the source of life that we desire, and that way is through Jesus. He literally went on a rescue mission to save you. Like, he lived a perfect life. Can anyone here live a perfect life? If you raise your hand, you're lying, okay? No one here can live a perfect life. Jesus said, I will go and do that for you. Because Jesus was God, he could go and do that for us. The price that our sins require, the reward that we get for our sins, the Bible says, is death. So, like, naturally, because we sin, we die. And Jesus is like, I don't want you to have to experience, like, the eternal separation from me that, like, sin causes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a way. So I'm going to come and live the life that you never could, because he came and lived a sinful or sinless perfect life that we couldn't live. And he came and he not just lived that life, but he looked and was like, I know every single one of the sins that you have done, that you are doing, you are like steeped in right now, and what you will do. Because like, we're all still going to mess up. But Jesus is there saying, he says, I love you more than you even realize, and I love you even when you are my enemy. I love you even when you are my enemy, and I am going to come and lay my life down for you. I'm going to pay what you owe, what your sins owe. I'm going to pay it all. I'm going to take on the guilt. I'm going to do all of that so you don't have to. I am going to let myself be nailed to this cross because I would rather be nailed to this cross than you. And he did that for us. He did that for every one of us. And it doesn't stop there, because 3 days later, because he actually died, he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. That's why we celebrate Easter. It's like that celebration of Jesus rising again from the dead, because it's that same life-giving power that Jesus had within himself, that as soon as he rose from the dead, he offers to us. He offers to every one of us. He's like, guys, you're going to want some of this. Like, let me tell you, I know what you want, and you want this. You want this. And like I said, this is the same life that he offers to you and me, and it's available right now. It's available right now. And so when he says that he's not, when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, he's not trying to be harsh. He's being clear. He's saying life isn't found inside of ourselves. It's found in me, and I'm giving it to you free of charge. All we have to do is believe and trust in him and everything that he has done, and choose to embrace that life that he's offering us, and not walk in the way that we are. Because if this is our normal trajectory, what Jesus is saying is, I want to invade your heart. I want to get inside, and I want to change your heart trajectory from here to here. So you're not walking this way anymore. You're not walking in dissatisfaction. You're not walking in ultimately the way that leads to death. What I want to do is I want to change that trajectory, and I want to have you pointed this way, which walking towards me and ultimately into the life that you want, that you've always desired, that I want actually more than you do for yourself. Because if we would map out a plan of our lives and give it to God, he'd be like, that's cute. Like, I can see what you're doing there. Like, you know, that's awesome. And he would, like, of course, like, he wants us to, like, be able to, like, have things, like, come to him and be like, God, I would love it if we could do this. And it's like, that's great. But his plans would blow ours out of the water. Like, unimaginable life is there for you for the taking. And that's what Jesus is offering all of us. And what this might look like for you, because I know that there's some of us here, we could probably be in like a couple camps, but like what this might look like for you is choosing to embrace Jesus and the gift that he's offered us, that gift of life that he's offered. Because maybe we're kind of sitting here together and you're making this realization of like, I don't know if I actually embrace this life that he's talking about. I don't know if I ever actually kind of made that decision to like choose to want to be connected to Jesus. And let me just say, like, I've been walking with Jesus for like quite a while now. I didn't grow up knowing Jesus, so I know what it's like to try and like throw all of the things into the empty pit of your life and like always come up empty and dissatisfied and like kind of wanting just like nothing to do with anything else, because I'm like, I feel like there's just no point in anything. So I know what that's like. And then knowing what that is, that life is in Jesus now, I'm just saying from the other end, it's the best decision that you could ever make. I'm not like trying to sell you. I'm not like some used car salesman up here just like, look at this baby, you know? What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you to see that Jesus gave everything for you. He gave everything so that you can have the life that you've always desired, that he's always desired for you. So some of us, it might look like choosing to embrace Jesus and the gift that he's offering. Some of us, it might be recognizing that somewhere we chose to check out. Like, we might have been following Jesus for a while. So kind of like me, we might have checked out for like a minute or even a while. And what Jesus is like, I want to invite you back into that. I want to invite you back into this connection. He's not looking at you. He's not looking at me. He's not shaming us. But what he's doing is like, you need to know there's nothing for you disconnected from me. I want to invite you back into that relationship and that experience with me. So like, how can we be wise and stay connected? Because you're probably sitting here like, Austin, like, I know this is all great, but like, I still have life. Like, life is busy. Like, Monday is coming. like I've got work. Like, how is this going to show up in the daily? So this kind of brings, and it's kind of like what our series has all been about, of just like, how does this, like how can we make the wise choice in the midst of this? So I think this kind of goes into the second problem that we face, is like, I believe our current life plan that we have needs changed. And let me explain. And I'm not, like, this isn't going to be like, oh, like the type A people in here, just as soon as I said plan, you're like, oh, this is amazing. You're getting out your notebook and you're like, all right, what's the plan? This isn't going to be the perfect plan. Everybody's plan is going to be different for you. So like, if you're looking for like a one-stop shop sort of thing, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But the Bible is actually really clear of what connection to Jesus means, and that it's a relationship of teacher and student, of teacher and student. So in the ancient world, like, a disciple is literally the ancient equivalent of an apprentice. And what would happen is disciples would leave everything behind. They would leave their old life behind, and they would go and follow their teacher. They would go and follow their teacher, and so that they could become like them. They could become like them. And so we can see this as the same way with Jesus' disciples, because look at the language here in John 15, 10 through 11. He says, so when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So what Jesus is saying is, I need you, and it kind of goes back to what we were saying before, I need, like, for you to embrace me, to be connected to me, you cannot walk this way. It's impossible. Like, I'm calling you out of this way. I need you to leave your old life behind. I need you to leave these things behind so you can come and follow my way. Learn from me. Like, live under me. Apprentice under me. And learn from me in that way. And I kind of see, like, this pattern, like, I noticed. So, like, when we live life with Christ, like, when we trust and love God, what happens is what Jesus says, you keep my commandments, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And then what happens is, like I said, when we trust and love God, what ends up happening is we keep his commandments. And then what happens from that, the results of that, is we experience the joy, the peace, and like the fruit of like becoming more like Jesus. So like when we are living like Jesus, when we are following him, when we are connected to him, that is when we experience like the peace, the joy, the fulfillment, the satisfaction, all the sort of things that our hearts are longing for. That's when that happens. That's when that happens. And like, people can see that. They're like, wow, you look, you're different. And you're like, yeah, I know. Because like, you're plugged into this life source now. And it's like, oh my, okay. Like, I kind of get it. I kind of get it now. But here's like the thing. There's life disconnected with Christ. If like you're living your life disconnected with Christ, this is what I kind of like remember, just even from my own story, just pulling this out of like real life. Just when we trust and love other things or other people, or like, you know, put in whatever you want from there, we give ourselves to those things. We pour our life out into those things or to those people. And what ends up happening is we wither away and we become dissatisfied, because life isn't found in those other things. Life isn't found in those people either. So we're not connected to any source, and no source is kind of giving us that life, they're pouring that life back into us. And let me just explain this. Like, connection doesn't work if the math is just trying to add Jesus already to our, like, our stressed out, busy, messy, want to like punch our boss in the head sort of life. There's a quote that I read, and I was like, man, this perfectly sums up like where I am this week. And maybe it rings something true in you too. Your system is perfectly designed to give you the results that you're getting. Like, listen to that. Your system is perfectly designed to give you the results that you're getting. So if you are disconnected from God and like the fallout of that is happening, and you're kind of sitting over here like, why? What's going on? I don't understand. Like, why do I feel stressed out and annoyed and like impatient and all this sort of stuff like all the time? I thought I was following Jesus, like all this sort of things. Your system, the way that you are connecting with Jesus, like that, your system's designed to give you the perfect results that you're getting. And again, like I said, God showed me this week, and because I was in that space for like a little while. I'm like, God, I feel like I'm like there's this distance from you, and like I don't know what that's all about. And what he kind of helped wake me up to see is like, buddy, like you need to like be reconnected with me. Like you kind of think you're connected right now, but like let me kind of like point some things out to you and show you like how you are not actually like kind of being connected with me. And it was like that moment I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Because I mean, I kind of phrased it this way: a relationship without intentionality withers away. When we try to autopilot our relationship with Jesus, like, it doesn't work. When we are not intentional about putting Jesus first in our lives, giving Jesus our best in our lives, like, that doesn't happen by osmosis. Things are just going to come in, life is going to happen, and it is going to steal your best. And God is saying, I gave you my best. I want to give you my best, and I will always give you my best. I would love it if you gave me your best, because he's worthy of it. He frankly deserves it. And this doesn't mean that like giving our best, like it doesn't mean like, okay, so Austin, you're saying I have to like go shave my head and be a monk. And I'm like, nope, that's not what I'm saying. It could mean rearranging and getting rid of some stuff in our lives, reprioritizing some stuff like Aaron talked about last week. It's like looking, what are the big rocks in your life? And kind of just being like, God needs to be my biggest rock, and putting that in first and making the time to do that. And before you kind of like do anything else, maybe that's what needs to happen. And I also realized too, like our best looks very different in different seasons. So you're like, dude, I just started college. Or if you're a student, like, I just started school. If you're a parent, like, I just had a kid for the first time. My best kind of looks like this. But God's like, I don't care how big or small your best is. It's kind of just a quality over quantity situation. I don't care if you give me, like, an hour in the Bible every morning or if it's, like, 5 minutes on the road. If that is truly and honestly your best, will you be willing to give that to me? You see how that's like different? Because I think for us, like we always try and run to the old, like, well, I just need to read my Bible more and I need to pray more and do all the sort of things and get plugged in and serving. And I should probably like, you know, help an old lady across the street too once in a while. But that's not what Jesus is saying. That's not like what he wants. What God wants is that quality over quantity. I'm kind of like going to wrap some things up. I want you guys to listen to this. It's another quote. It's actually from this guy. His name's Brother Lawrence. He's a 15th century monk, and he wrote this, basically it's like a pamphlet. It's like an hour-long read. Like, you should totally read it if you have never heard of it before. I really encourage it. But it's called The Practice of the Presence of God. And so basically he was like, I found the secret. Kind of to like what it means to living with God always in your presence. And listen to what he says. I regard myself as the most wretched man of all, stinking and covered with sores, awesome, and as one who has committed all sorts of crimes against his king. Overcome by remorse, I confess all my wickedness to him, ask his pardon, and abandon myself entirely to him to do with as he will. But this king, filled with goodness and mercy, far from chastising me, disciplining, like lovingly embraces me, makes me eat at his table, serves me with his own hands, and gives me the keys of his treasures and treats me as his favorite. He talks with me and is delighted with me in 1,001 ways, and he forgives me and relieves me of my principal bad habits without talking about them. I beg him to make me according to his heart, and always the more weak and despicable I see myself to be, the more beloved I am of God. Guys, he feels this way about every single one of us. Brother Lawrence would be like echoing, like, I know how I see myself. I know the places I fall short. I know. But God sees me so differently. God gives me his best consistently. He is the greatest friend I could ever have. Here is this king who has given me everything to love me. And like Aaron said last week, like I said, this isn't about making the perfect plan, but this week, here's what I want us to wrestle with. How and what does it look like to give God our best? How and what does it look like for us to give God our best? So I want to try something. I want to invite the band up, and if you read in the New Testament any of the time that Jesus is connecting with God, one of his favorite ways to do that was through solitude, where Jesus literally went away. Like, he distanced himself from people and the busyness, and like, Jesus was a busy guy. He distanced himself from all of that so that he can be in a one-on-one, like, in presence of God, of his Father. And just in that stillness, in that moment, is where he was connecting with God. And I want to, like, try this. So I just want us to, like, you know, whether that's, like, closing your eyes or just, you know, whatever, I want us to kind of sit in this solitude, because God is with us right now. He is with each and every one of us. And maybe you're like me, and you're like, I need to just like unplug from the busyness. I need to like, I need to do this, and I like to be able to connect with God in this way. So I want us to like take some time. It's just a minute, and then our band's gonna lead us in some worship. I'll pray us out, and they'll lead us in some worship after that time. But just right now, why don't we, wherever we're at, let's just be still and be in God's presence for this minute. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for meeting in this place, for meeting us in this place, and just the knowledge and understanding that you desire more for our lives than we do. And Lord, the beat of your heart is loving us, and you just invite us into that. And I pray that as we just sit in this stillness with you in this moment, we just share together of just being in your presence, that you would just meet us there as well, that you would help to reveal even any of those things that we might need to like change, to get rid of, if that means like to connect with you greater, if that means to give you our best. And Lord, I just pray that every single person in this room would just be able to know you, to experience you, to embrace the life that you have for every one of us. So Lord, we love you, and we just praise you and thank you for everything that you've done for us.